And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
This week in the NHL is bringing new meaning to the term March Madness. Brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 24, Mailbag Edition. Nick Elberga and Pete Jensen with you. What's going on, Pete?
What's up, Nick? Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL, and huge slates coming up on Thursday and Saturday, and one-game slates on Friday and Sunday, but every game makes a difference this time of year. We got a great guest for you today to navigate the fantasy playoffs, Nick.
Yeah, the king of props, our man from the FTN Network. It is Chris Meany. What's going on, Means? And a happy opening day, buddy.
Yeah, exciting time for baseball fans. It's more exciting for hockey fans as we creep closer to Fantasy Hockey Championship. And we also have, of course, a couple weeks until NHL playoffs. So appreciate the invite, guys. It's always a pleasure to join you. And I think that March is the best month to be a sports fan. It's all happening, so it smiles on my face.
Meany, it's always a joy to have you on. Anna Dua having some technical issues. She's not a part of the program today, so we move ahead with the three horsemen, and Nick forgets who writes the paycheck to him every month. Sometimes it's a month late. I get it, Nick, but it's not MLB, it's NHL, so we're gearing up for the playoffs here, Nick.
Yeah, but Bob's allowed to talk about college basketball every podcast. I see how it works here, but it's okay. Means, why don't we start with what's interested you the most in fantasy hockey, I guess, the last little while? Because, again, it's a tough time of year to find value on the waiver wire. Of course, you can't make trades either.
Yeah, you can. I think just right off the hop, two players that I've been talking about for quite a bit, and one I think we chatted about when I joined you a few weeks ago was Wyatt Johnson. Now, you're not going to be able to get Wyatt Johnson off the waiver wire, but there are a lot of people that are really slow to grab this guy, and there is some awesome chemistry between him and Jamie Benn at the moment. Like, Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin look like Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin from a few years ago. The depth on this Dallas squad is remarkable, and Logan Stankoven has had some really nice moments as well. So maybe in a deeper league, you can kind of piggyback off of that line. Like, Jamie Benn enters tonight's action with goals in five straight. He's hit the score sheet in seven straight and 11 of his last, 12 games. So, he's starting to get picked up here now. Wyatt Johnson's ownership is very similar. I think maybe Logan Stankoven, another guy probably scooped up. You guys are pretty savvy. You probably grabbed him immediately when he was traded. Anthony Duclair was having a fantastic season for the Sharks. He traded in, the number one power play and usage, a lot of minutes for just much better line mates here in Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov. He didn't hit the score sheet last night against the Bruins, but he's been very, very noticeable. And you're going to play with those two guys here over the next couple of weeks. That's a player that can be part of a championship squad that you pick up off the waiver wire and you just play and you don't even think about the matchups.
Chris, I wanted to follow up on that with Tampa. I mean, Bobby, producer, was saying it last night. Nobody's going to want to play this team in the playoffs. They're rolling at the right time of year. We don't know if they'll ever get Sergachev back down the line. That's probably unlikely at this point. But still, man, Tampa looks deep. They added Duclair. They added Dumba. The guys came back the other day. Point and Hedman, they're healthy for the right time of year. Is this a team that you're going to pull the trigger on betting-wise, regardless of who they're playing? Because I think all those top teams are on notice right now.
Yeah, absolutely. They are on my radar more so now than they were to start the season. And, of course, they had to weather the storm without Vasilevskiy. And no, Sergachev is a huge loss, and it's something that maybe they'll feel in the playoffs if they get into the second or the third round. They'll really miss not having him in the lineup. I think they'll pass the Leafs because I looked at the schedule and they have a couple layup games. They have a couple tough ones, but they also have a couple easier games. The Leafs have a couple matchups. I think they play the Panthers twice. I think they have a couple against the Lightning. So those games will matter. But I don't know. I'd feel better about them being a wild card squad. I don't know if I'm going to like them against Florida. I don't know if I would like them against Boston. But they're certainly a team that you can't overlook, Pete, because Vasilevskiy is back, and Vasilevskiy's playing fantastic. His last few games, .958 save percentage, .955, .940. Had the shutout against the Flyers. So he looks like he's back.
Oh, they're scary. They're 7-0-1 in the last eight games, and that's the big thing with them. They got the number one D in Victor Hedman. They got a guy who's obviously in the running for the Hart Trophy, Nikita Kucherov. Braden Point's been on fire the last little while, and you have the ultimate X factor in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Andrei Vasilevskiy. That's going to be a difficult outcome playoff time for sure. I wanted to ask you about a team you're very, very familiar with. And Pete brought this up last podcast, or the NHL Action collab, actually, where we talked about the college season. I believe the Frozen Four gets underway, and that whole madness gets underway this weekend. But Lane Hutson is a name that I think fantasy managers should be getting to know very, very quickly here. What's the projection on him? Like, I think there's obviously a chance he turns pro and plays a couple games for the Habs to finish the season, right?
Yeah, it's certainly possible. They got a couple really nice prospects. Exeter Fowler is going to be a nice player throughout that tournament as well. I'd say towards the final part of the week, I mean, there's some rumblings that could happen. It's not a lock. I think if you're in a dynasty league and a keeper league, you know, and your season's just not going the way that you'd like it to go, I mean, somebody that you pick up. I don't know if he's somebody that's going to make an impact from a fantasy hockey standpoint. Like, I would say they would like to put him on the first power play if it's the final week, give him a good look. But that to me is not even a lock. Like, Matheson's had that role and he's been playing pretty good in that role. But maybe they put him on that second unit. You know, they just lost Joshua Waugh, but you know, they have a couple another young players that they can put on that second unit. But yeah, he's definitely going to be a good player in the league. He's had a terrific past couple of seasons, second on the team in points. And the Montreal's building something pretty special on the blue line, but we probably won't see for a couple of years.
And you can actually find on NHL.com right now, there's a list of the best players in the NCAA tournament. Wanted to give that a shout out. Always a good read this time of year. It includes Jackson Blake, University of North Dakota, Jason Blake's son. And I think anytime you can link one of those players up to a contending team like Carolina, if they choose to go pro, those are the storylines you got to look at, not only from a betting lens, but a fantasy late season push. Those guys have made a difference before, right? Through the years, like Quinn Hughes came up for the tail end. The list goes on, Chris.
Yeah, it really does. It's you know, the college hockey has improved so much over the past couple of seasons, and it's going to be really phenomenal to watch. And a kid like Celebrini, who's going to go first overall in the draft, is underaged and is lighting it up every single night. So it's exciting times if you're a college hockey fan.
Exciting times, because you get to say Hobie Baker as much as you want, Nick. Hobie Baker.
Yes, and we'll find out who wins that award. Getting back to the NHL level again, the Montreal Canadiens, so Lane Hutson, watch out for that name as we move forward here to the conclusion of the regular season. But want to get your thoughts on the Jake Allen fit with New Jersey. And again, this question coming via Anna, delivered by our good friends over at Skip on Instagram. Jake Allen, does he have a chance to be the number one for New Jersey next season? Will they go with a tandem? Is Markstrom, in your opinion, still in the equation? He made 42 stops against the Leafs on Tuesday night with New Jersey so far, means 4-2-0, 2.51, a 925.
Man, I've been saying that the Devils should have acquired this guy weeks and weeks and weeks ago. I think, Nick, we had a back and forth on Twitter maybe a month into the season, and people are looking at Jake Allen's numbers, and even when they made that addition, Allen's not great. I mean, look at his numbers this year, not great last year. But when you're a goalie and you're playing every 3 or 4 weeks, think about how hard that is as a rotation of three goalies in Montreal. And let's be honest about the Canadian squad as well, among the leaders in penalties and bottom two penalty kill. It's just not a great situation for him. So I think so. I think that they'll probably be some sort of tandem, but he is taking control of the net. I know it's a very small sample size, but the teams he's played, you just mentioned the numbers. Dallas, I thought he was phenomenal. Gave up 2 quick goals, were soft goals, maybe a little bit of nerves, but he stopped 35 of 37, picked up the win, was great against the Golden Knights. They were in that game till late. There was a late empty net goal there. He was awesome against Pittsburgh and Winnipeg. And then you mentioned the first period he had against Toronto, he stood on his head. So he's a really good goalie. He's you know, he was behind Carey Price for years. You know, you don't really view him as a starter, but when he filled in for Price, he was good. In his contract, what's 40 games, and the pick becomes a better one for Montreal. He's going to pass that. He's going to surpass the 40 games next year. And I would say he opens up as the starter, and he has shown us more in the 2 weeks than any New Jersey goalie has shown us this season.
And when you look at New Jersey's trajectory rest of the season, probably going to miss the playoffs. They're about 5-6 points out of those last two spots. Maybe their best chance would be to catch Philly if they dip down in the standings like we've all anticipated all season. Somehow they've kept this thing going. But the schedule the rest of the way for New Jersey, mostly winnable games coming up at Buffalo. They're a train wreck. They're done after that game against Ottawa. Pittsburgh's out of it. Rivalry game against the Rangers. Ottawa and then Nashville home and home with Toronto. I mean, like, a lot of these games are winnable. So maybe the Devils can surprise everybody after the coaching change and get back into this thing. You think so, Chris?
I don't. I mean, they could surprise us. They could surprise us. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they made it, but their game is just too inconsistent. Even without the goaltending, it really is. There's been moments where it's been moments where a lot of their players have disappeared. Timo Meier has been much better since the coaching change. We've seen it. He's actually been playing with good players. Like, imagine he's playing on the third line for a long part of the season, which is really mind-boggling. But I think the last time I came on here, I talked at the Flyers. I thought maybe I wouldn't get an invite again, but I believe that this team is scrappy, man. They've gone through a tough part of their schedule, and they've hung around with a lot of teams. I mean, a 6-5 loss to Boston, they beat the Leafs, they hung around with Carolina 3-2. They've beaten Florida a couple times this season. So they've gotten past that tough stretch. Like, they have Chicago coming up. They have the Buffalo Sabres coming up. So I believe that they are going to get in, and I think it's just going to come down to Washington, the Red Wings, and the Islanders. It's because the Islanders have 71 games played and the Devils have 73, and that's a big difference,
man. If there was a team Masterton Trophy, the Philadelphia Flyers would win that. from Cutter Gauthier to the whole Carter Hart situation to Torts on a nightly basis, like, he's not talking to reporters. Like, it's been a wild season for them, but they just continue to defy logic and odds, and I do think they're gonna get in. Like, I'm at that point where the last month I'm like, no, they're not gonna do it, but they keep going against what I'm saying. So I got to believe with them to an extent. I want to ask you about Timo Meier. Under Travis Green, 12 games, 11 goals, 17 points. This question via Bobby, delivered by our good friends over at Skip. How will you approach Meier in non-keeper league drafts next season? His preseason ADP, I should bring up, 40.9. Is he a top 50 player next season, means?
Yeah, borderline. He'll be a value next year. He was going way too early in drafts this year. I mean, I was drinking the Kool-Aid as well. How could you not? I mean, there's a lot to like about New Jersey and their offensive squad. But again, it just didn't really work out with Lindy Ruff. So, you know, he moves from a second round pick to probably, you know, you mentioned the ADP. Maybe he's a fourth round target. He's a good fourth round target. Like, he's still, you know, a 40 goal scorer, a volume shooter. If he is going to play with, you know, his countryman Nico Hischier, which they should have been doing again all year, there's clearly chemistry there with those two guys, then yeah, he's going to have a top six role. We'll see what the Devils do in the offseason. If they add a couple pieces, they got a nice little prospect pool too. So yeah, I would say good value next year, buy in Dynasty, and you know, you can take advantage of owners who are upset.
A lot of people, Chris, are in fantasy leagues where the goalie market's really thin. Like, even a guy like Allen is long gone because he's been playing well. Devils won 4 out of 5 with him largely responsible. Is there anybody out there that's sparsely owned that has caught your eye? I know James Reimer's won 3 in a row. Semyon Varlamov's going to get the start Thursday at Florida. I don't like that matchup. But there's also Casey DeSmith, who is playing fairly well in Thatcher Demko's absence, and he's now on LTIR, unfortunately.
Yeah, DeSmith was you got a media pickup when Demko went down. 43% ownership in Yahoo. It's jumped up over the last day, you know, about 5 or 6%. You know, he's made consecutive starts here over the past couple of weeks, looking at 7 in a row. He's won 3 of his last 4. It's a good team. You mentioned Demko on IR. So that would be the guy that I would grow to immediately. Cam Talbot is still hanging around some wires. He was awesome to start the season, cooled down. He's been much better. I think the Kings are starting to find their footing again. They look like the Kings team to start the season over the past couple weeks. And I'd say, you know, Logan Thompson, Aiden Hill is hurt again. If you own Sergei Bobrovsky, I would have Stolarz. Like, Florida may not push Bobrovsky here over the past couple weeks. I know that they could get the number one seed. They're most likely gonna, it's one or two, you know, Toronto or Tampa won't catch them, but backup goalies on good teams, like I have Bobrovsky and Stolarz has been on my team for the past couple of weeks. There's some back-to-backs coming up, some starts that they'll probably chuck him in and ease off the workload. So you're right. It's at this time of the season, you have what you have, and it's going to get ugly heading into the weekend. You'll just have to stream some goalies that are going to get some starts.
Additionally, I would say watch out for Spencer Knight. He is ripping things up right now in the American Hockey League. I think he could be on spot start duty. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge with these injuries around the NHL for these playoff teams. So watch out for that. I think he's a guy to monitor going into next season, especially from a keeper standpoint. I talk about the Florida Panthers. This question, And I tell you, our friends at Skip are delivering today. Zach Hyman versus Sam Reinhardt is the question today. Both have 51 goals. One guy a bit more privileged than others. I think both guys are privileged. That tweet the other day was ridiculous. But they're tied for second only to Austin Matthews right now. Who do you believe in more as a fantasy file next season means?
Oh, man. Really good question.
I told you, Skip's delivering today.
Yeah,
man. This
it's
is huge.
It's a really good question. The hate around Zach Hyman lately, I agree, is absolutely ludicrous. This is just a player that has scored everywhere he's played in the NHL. Say what you want about the line mates he's played with, but he's deserved to play with those line mates. He's that type of player that, you know, you have to have a little bit of everything on your line. I heard Wayne Gretzky say on the TNT broadcast last night, or the broadcast, he said, you know, Hall didn't go in the corners because guys just didn't score. He didn't. Why would it go in the corner? People don't score goals in the corner. But Hyman's one of those guys that can get in the corner, get loose pucks, and he knows where to go after that. I would say Hyman. I love Reinhardt. Like, he's a proven goal scorer. He scored with the Sabres. You know, he is having a career year. So is Hyman. But Hyman has done this. You know, he did this with the Leafs. He's done this for the past couple of years with McDavid. He's going to play with McDavid again next year. Like, they just. There's moments where they separate them, but for the most part, you look at the 5-5 numbers. Zach Hyman has played a majority of his hockey over the last 2 years with Connor McDavid, and that's going to be the difference maker. No disrespect to Barkov. He's a great center as well, but that's you got to have a guy linked to McDavid.
And with Reinhardt in a contract year, you don't know where he's going to be playing necessarily. You can bank on Hyman for leading the NHL in high-danger shots on goal a couple years running. So he keeps it simple, and he certainly delivers in a big way for fantasy managers time and time again. Remember when they got him from Toronto? He's making big money, but he's delivering. He's worth every penny.
Yeah, he is. And I think it's something that the Leafs – I know that it's easy to say now – but they probably should have found a way to hang on to that guy.
Yeah, I think so too. And again, I've had this debate on Leafs Morning Take. I mean, the Leafs are the same team with and without Zach Hyman. I think you're happy for the guy and you just move on. And, you know, I think the intrigue too, and I brought this up on last week's podcast, where it's like every year it seems to be a new guy has a career year. Last year was Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Now it's Zach Hyman. Means who's the next guy? Is it going to be like, I don't know, Evander Kane, who was a health bomb the other day? Like, there's got to be the next man up. Maybe they re-sign Connor Brown and he has a 50-goal season.
A guy we were going to take for Norris. In fact, the guy I took for Norris, Bouchard. Bouchard is going to have a big 100-point-plus season. 100-point-plus season next year. You know, he got off to a slow start. He's my Norris pick for next year, Nick. We just roll it right over.
Okay.
And
all right.
He's 8 points away from us hitting a 10-1 over at FTN for an 80-point season.
Of course he is. Yeah.
He's already surpassed his point total. I mean, he's got the 57 helpers, a career high 15 goals. I love the call, Bob. I mean, he's got a heck of a shot, right? And he's just not going to lose his spot on that power play. And all the attention when you watch the Oilers, of course, is going to go to McDavid. You got to try to figure out the, you know, the cross pass to Draisaitl. It leaves a lot of shot opportunities for Bouchard.
Do you see any other team jumping in the East playoff picture to unseat Washington? They're playing real well right now, but three more games remaining on the suspension for Tom Wilson, Chris. Do you think that catches up to them? Does Detroit get back in the mix? They're spotty lately. The Islanders are, you know, kicking around, but not much doing there either.
I know. Man, Washington has to be one of the most surprising squads in the NHL. Have to be. I'm shocked that they're in this spot. They play the same style of hockey, you know, every night. You know, their defensive game is actually pretty solid at 5-5. They're getting good goaltending from Charlie Lindgren, and mostly Charlie Lindgren this year. And Ovechkin he started off extremely slow. Everybody was talking about him being finished. I'd say the Capitals squeak in. If there's a team that could chase them, I would say the Islanders, just because of Sorokin. Detroit has been hot and cold, like you mentioned. They really missed Dylan Larkin in the middle of the ice. When he was gone for the couple of weeks, they were allowing so much at 5-5. I just don't believe in the goaltending. And I'll just give the nod to the Islanders here in Sorokin and what Waugh's done with this team. 71 games played. They got a couple games in hand on some teams, and they got the best goalie of the four, so maybe that's enough to get them in. But I don't think that any of these teams will make any noise.
No, you get that feeling. It's like, who's going to get in? When you get in, it's going to be a quick exit. Having said that, I always got to preface now, because what happened last year with Florida, just expect the unexpected in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You talk about Detroit. Bobby writes in again, delivered by good friends over at Skip. Patrick Kane, how would you attack him next year? Obviously, we don't know where he's going to play. Maybe he re-signs in Detroit. Maybe he goes back to Chicago. But numbers are numbers, and I think this is one of the better fantasy stories of the season. So he signs with Detroit. Now has 41 games played, 17 goals, 40 points. So he's essentially back to being a point-per-game player. How would you draft him next season?
Yeah, context, it's always about average draft position. And we talked about Timo Meier. If he was going around Timo Meier around pick 50, I would be much more interested in Timo Meier as a volume shooter. But you're right, it's a really good story. He's been a point-per-game guy over the past little bit. There's some chemistry there with his old buddy DeBrincat, and he hasn't played a lot of hockey with Larkin. So Detroit was very busy in the offseason this past year. I was surprised how quiet they were at the deadline. Yzerman probably tries to bring him back, and maybe he's busy again in the offseason. There's a bit of a better supporting cast around him. But I'll probably pass, honestly, Nick, just because of the age, a little bit older. I'll probably just be out. But, yeah, a heck of a season for him.
And when you look at the games on Friday and Sunday, I mean, there's going to be guys picked up left and right on third lines from those games just because we're really getting to the dire straits here for fantasy. Is there anyone from those four teams involved in the Friday and Sunday one-game slates? Devils, Sabres, I know Jack Quinn's back. Connor Garland's been good for the Canucks, who play the Ducks on Sunday. Trevor Zegras is back as well. Anybody in a secondary role from those four teams, Chris, that you could see being a difference maker in the fantasy playoffs?
Yeah, great question, Pete, because the way that the schedule lines up this week and the next couple of weeks, you have to get the best of your opponent. And the only way to do that is to attack games Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. I think this week, six combined games on those days. Like, you just have to attack those days. So for tomorrow, Friday, Buffalo, one player that I picked up this week, J.J. Paterka, he scored again last night up with Tage Thompson and Alex Tuch. Like, that to me is an immediate pickup. Tomorrow, to have a couple guys in that Buffalo and Dallas game is going to be a huge advantage. And then Connor Garland's another guy that I picked up. It didn't work out for me on Monday, but he's been playing with Elias Pettersson up on that top line. Nils Höglander is another guy that's available in fantasy hockey leagues. To have somebody on that Sunday, you got to do it now. You can't be waiting Saturday night, early Sunday morning. Your league mates are going to be savvy. They're going to be grabbing these players. So a matchup against the Ducks on Sunday, try to get a couple of those Canucks players, maybe Pew Suter's back up with Miller or Brock Besser. And then on the Duck side, there's everybody is basically available, right? I mean, let's be honest. I'd say Leo Carlson, right, in a redraft league. People haven't been hanging on to him being in the lineup and out of the lineup. Then you got Zegras coming back. Terry Vetrano is most likely owned. Cam Fowler for a couple blocks, things like that. You got to do Tyler Myers for a couple blocks. Got to do what you got to do at this time of the year.
Tell you guys, the battle of the frauds on Wednesday night. I wish I was doing anything else, but unfortunately, I was watching Ottawa and Buffalo square off, and that was so Buffalo, a 5-0 lead for Ottawa in the first period. I streamed Jack Quinn in that game, didn't really notice him. Buffalo, I mean, I hope I get some offense from that team. They got the back-to-back coming up this weekend on Friday, Saturday. Let's wrap with some looks for Thursday or anything you're looking at this weekend in general. Some things I like, Austin Matthews anytime goal, number 60 with Ovechkin in the building on Thursday. I'll be playing that. Might take a sniff at Montreal as a dog against Philadelphia. I like Winnipeg on home ice against Vegas. I like the under between LA and Edmonton. What are you looking at?
Yeah, for tonight, I mean, Shane Pinto, maybe we're a day too late on him after the big performance he had yesterday, but a matchup against the Blackhawks, he's minus 120 for a point. Owen Tippett against the Habs, he's a big volume shooter. I like the call on Montreal. I mean, they've been pretty competitive all year, but a bit of a lengthy trip on the road. Now they come back home, they could potentially be flat. Jamie Benn, he's plus money for a point. Like, this guy, and him and Wyatt Johnson, They have been so fun to watch. I'm a huge fan of the Stars and the depth. But when I watched, and I know it was against the Sharks, but when I watched Jamie Benn and Wyatt Johnson the other night, the beautiful goals that they were connecting on. Wyatt Johnson had two unbelievable goals where he just undressed Blackwood. Jamie Benn, speaking of opening day in baseball, the hand-eye coordination he had in front of the net was phenomenal as well. So both of those guys pretty even for points. And one more on the way out for Bob. Gustav Nyquist. I mean, the Predators.
Ooh, baby.
Nyquist had 4 points in his first 10 games. He's got 60 in his last 62, 63. The Preds have cut points in, 18, 19 in a row? Like, he has played with Philip Forsberg for 3 months, and nobody in the betting market or the fantasy market wants to give this guy credit. Minus 135 for a point per game player over the last 3 months is, it feels like a steal for me.
You know I like to be an alligator lurking in the swamp. I don't wildly rampage through the swamp looking for random picks. It's a huge slate tonight, nice. And one five-star play jumps out at me. And it's the Colorado Avalanche at home against your New York Rangers. Right off of the clinching of the playoff spot, they head out to Colorado. I like the Avalanche around minus 150. I rarely will lay the money, but the Avalanche tonight is a five-star play.
I dig it. I support it. All right, just coming off the disappointing loss to the Habs. It was their first loss since the trade deadline. McKinnon a point in every home game so far this season. He's like a guy that I always blindly bet for 2 points as well.
Respond. And the Rangers they're flying a little too close to the sun here. I mean, they've been great. I give them credit. But now you got to go at altitude. McKinnon, Avalanche are angry, like McMeany said, off the Habs loss, Pete. Oh, my God. Double barrel.
I like it. I like Sean Walker for a point in that one. You could probably get a decent assist prop on him as well. Under the radar trade deadline acquisition by Colorado. Yeah. And then, you know, look at some of the Connor McMichael keeps going top line with Ovi. Toronto allows a lot of goals. The goaltending's a mess. Samsonov's banged up. Joseph Wall hasn't been the same since coming back. So ride the hot hand with McMichael there. And then, you know, I know your fantasy lineups are going to be loaded with every roster spot filled. But if you can find a way to work in a Senators or Blackhawks player, I think that that's going to be like a crazy 7-6 type game in Ottawa. And Ottawa and Korpisalo have quietly won three in a row.
Hey, we were able to pipe in Anna Dewar for her given prop segment, and here she is. Hey, guys, you know, I really like Nathan McKinnon to get a point tonight. Hammer it. I love it. Thank you, Anna, for giving props. Appreciate you working out the tech issues. Thank you very much. Nicholas?
All right. Thank you, Means.
Hey, you guys are the best. Thanks for having me.
Make sure to check out Chris's work from the FTN Network. Pete, I got a big question for you. Deliver the most for you in fantasy hockey this week. It's time for the Deliver of the Week brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
I'm going to go Philip Kurashev, Chicago Blackhawks. They're putting up a lot of goals late in the season, finishing strong since the return of Connor Bedard. And when you look at the leaders in March, Kurashev is up there among the top 20 in the entire league with 15 points in 12 games.
Nice. I'm going to go with Josh Doan. Makes his debut on Tuesday. Gets two goals in that game. Exciting time for the family. Big game against the Nashville Predators coming up on Thursday. So he brought value to my fantasy roster. I loved it. Those are your deliveries of the week brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. I understand we've got another question here, Pete.
Right. And someone was asking about, like, who are some of the strong finishers around the league? Fan question delivered by Skip that have been charging here in the month of March. And I mentioned one of them. Another is Nick Schmaltz, 17 in 13 games in the month of March. Jamie Benn, you know, didn't realize how good he's been in March. Ridiculous. I know Meany mentioned him, 17 in 11 games for the veteran Jamie Benn. And Kurashev and Bedard have been great. Wyatt Johnston's another one. And Pavel Zacha,
yeah,
better late than never, right? 14 points in 13 games for the Bruins in the month of March.
Yeah, that's the guy I wanted to bring up. We've been on the Zacha file for like a month and a half now, but every game he's picking up a point. And again, this is a guy we identified as a sleeper coming into this season. Sometimes it takes guys a bit longer. And to finish the way he is, I think he's going to be a polarizing conversation again starting next season. So yeah, Zacha's a name. Kurashev's a guy we brought up a couple weeks ago as well. Any attachment to Connor Bedard, it's free and easy time. Like, Chicago's playing out the slate. They're feeling good. They're scoring goals. Like, it's a much different fantasy team, I think, to tackle than you did, you know, say back in mid-October, early November, where they're really, really struggling to find an identity, Pete.
And if your league does not count plus minus, don't hesitate to go to Michael Granlund from the Lowly Sharks. 13 points in 13 games this month. The plus minus will kill you, unfortunately, but he's the only guy doing anything worth mentioning for San Jose these days. And, you know, that team is down in the dumps right now, unfortunately.
They are, Pete. So we'll reconvene next week for those of you still in your fantasy playoffs. We'll get you set for the next round, week 25 waiver wire edition. Pete, coming up next week.
Sounds great. We'll be on to what, the semifinal round, and only a couple of weeks left in the regular season. So be gearing up with our playoff picks. A lot of guys are going to be rested around the league. We'll try to help you navigate that. And reminder to reach out to us, me, Anna, and Nick at NHL Fantasy over the weekend for all your last minute, last ditch lineup decisions.
And if you need anything, Sweet 16 and beyond into the Elite Eight, you know where to get me, at AirCheck. I've been on an absolute heater. Be careful, folks. Be careful. The public won in a big way last week, in a big, big way with these favorites covering. I think the book gets some of that money, if not all of it, plus back Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. So be very, very careful with the hoops wagering, Nick.
And this is my yearly PSA. If you're running a fantasy league, do not have it go to the end of the regular season. There's going to be some guys MIA, and it's going to cost you a fantasy title, and that's always the case. I can't believe my fantasy season could be done this week. I gotta pull out a rabbit out of a hat the next couple days. We'll see what happens. So week 25, waiver wire edition coming up. Thanks to producer Bob Bender. For Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.